paper?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Scott Fisher, and along with my colleague Andrew May, we were appointed by this Court to represent Appellant Jeffrey Olson. This case presents three legal questions, but we believe more fundamentally, Your Honors, presents the real question of whether Mr. Olson had a fair day in court and whether this case was resolved on the merits. The three questions, Your Honor, relate first to whether the lower court should have, pursuant to 28 U.S.C. Section 1915, recruited counsel for Mr. Olson. The second and third question relate to whether the court should have granted...
Aren't you really arguing for a per se rule that pro ses should always be given lawyers?
Certainly not, Your Honor. And that, I think, was conclusively rejected by this court, an opinion written by Judge Sykes in Pruitt, and is not the law. We believe, however, in this case...
What's special about this case?
There's a collection of issues, Your Honor. First, a month after the case was filed, Mr. Olson was transferred from Columbia Correctional Facility to Waupun Correctional Facility.
We pronounce it Waupun.
Waupun, excuse me. Thank you. I'm an Illini. He had been...
So how far away was that?
It is not in the record, Your Honor, but Google reflects 51 miles. That's the first significant issue, Your Honor, and it's an issue that's, I think, notable. He was transferred a month after the suit's filed, Your Honor, and he had been at Columbia for some time before that, since November 6, 2008. No evidence in the record as to why that transfer occurred. That would be my point one. Point two, Judge. As a result of the transfer, he had substantial difficulty obtaining discovery in this case. Without characterizing the manner in which the discovery took place, it is uncontroverted that there are significant and important issues that went undiscovered and that Mr. Olson, despite efforts filing motions to compel and the like, Your Honor, was refused discovery. As just one example, Judge, he filed a motion to compel. The Attorney General argued that it was premature, and the court suggested that what he should have done is essentially met and confer, to use a colloquialism we use in the district court. Judge, he's in prison, and he's in prison for life, and he was transferred, essentially for life, rather, and he was transferred. The practicality of meeting and conferring to discuss discovery is not practical. Third, the district court did not make any consideration whatsoever of the mental issues that were in the record that Mr. Olson suffered. There's no development in the record about that.
What's the matter with him?
It's not clear. He alleged, Your Honor, that he had suffered from severe depression, mental issues, and the like. He raised that issue.
What do you mean mental issues? I don't understand you.
Those are his words, Your Honor. They're not mine. As you know, I was not trial counsel. This is an issue that wasn't discovered.
See how someone can just say mental issues to get a lawyer.
And I agree, Your Honor. Which
is what should they have done? Given him a psychiatric examination?
I think a simple telephonic status conference in order for him to appear. A simple question, Your Honor, as we suggested, a visual examination of the witness, something basic to satisfy that the court did the work that this court required in Pruitt. That was found in the Junior case that Your Honor wrote the opinion of not too long ago. Those are the issues that the lower court rather should have undertaken. The legal issue, Your Honor, also here is that the lower court, other than paying lip service, considered neither Mr. Olson's competency nor the complexity of the case, and undoubtedly did not consider the competency in light of the complexity of the case. I think the briefing at this court, Your Honor, identifies that there are complex issues here. There are lawyers back and forth about what the import of this court's Ricardo decision is, what evidence is appropriately considered on summary judgment in an Eighth Amendment case, what constitutes deliberate indifference, What medical evidence is necessary? All these questions cry out for a lawyer. As Your Honor, Judge Posner said in writing the Junior case, questions abound from this record about what really happened. If one looks at the affidavit of Appellee Tenebruso, who was the nurse in the health services unit, she says that she received the letter on April 13th and then responded promptly on April 14th. And that's on which the lower court relied in granting summary judgment. What remains unanswered from her affidavit, Your Honors, is when did she first learn of this injury? There's absolutely no evidence, and we submit that it's a reasonable inference from this record that had Ms. Tenebruso first learned about the injury on April 13th, as opposed to March 28th, March 29th, or March 30th, she would have said so. The same is true with respect to Appellee Schneider. Appellee Schneider says, in response to speaking with Mr. Olson, he spoke with two other guards on the unit and suggested that the medications be taken.
What was this injury to his tooth that he was complaining about?
The record reflects, Your Honor, that he was triaged by Nurse Paul Katarkis, who concluded that he had a broken tooth which needed to be removed. Then the record reflects that for 3 weeks he suffered severe pain, swelling, bleeding, he couldn't eat, and couldn't swallow. That's what the record reflects with respect to that.
So was the tooth removed?
It was subsequently removed. I note, Your Honor, the day after his lawsuit was filed, more than 3 weeks after the injury occurred. I see that I'm in my rebuttal time. I'd like to finish up one point with respect to Appellee Schneider. Schneider says that he followed up having heard the conversation. What Schneider doesn't say is when he followed up. Of course, had he followed up immediately following the conversation, it's reasonable to infer he would have said so. But he doesn't specify when he followed up.
But isn't there a paradox, and you're arguing both that he should have had a lawyer and that the case should be reversed on the merits? Because what would a lawyer have added? So you mentioned the tooth. Okay, so the tooth is not repaired for 3 weeks. He suffers pain. What does a lawyer add to that claim?
To the claim against Tenebruso, Your Honor?
Yeah.
So a few things. The lower court refused to consider Mr. Olson's statement, in his response to the statement of facts that he had contacted Ms. Tenebruso at least a half a dozen times before she responded. The lower court refused to consider that because it wasn't, according to the lower court, properly considered under Rule 56C4. A lawyer, Your Honor, would have advised Mr. Olson to put that in an affidavit, to put that in an unsworn declaration, and we submit that had the exact statement that appears in his response to the statement of facts been sworn pursuant to 28 U.S.C. 1746, summary judgment could not have been granted. Additionally, Your Honor, with respect to that claim, we think discovery should have been taken. A reasonable person would have asked Ms. Tenebruso when, in fact, she first learned of the injury. She never says that in her testimony. She simply says she learned something on the 13th and then followed up on the 14th, but never indicates if she knew anything before that time. I see that I'm running into my rebuttal time, Your Honor, if I could reserve the rest of that.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Russomano?
May it please the Court. I represent the Wisconsin Department of Corrections staff members who are the defendants in this action. I understand opposing counsel's main argument here to be about counsel, and so I plan to focus my comments on that unless the Court has specific questions. I'd like to address, I suppose, in roughly the order that was raised in the opening argument. First, the issue of transfer. It's true that Mr. Olson was transferred. What's not apparent is why that ultimately would have mattered. before the district court, Mr. Olson said he wanted to get affidavits from other inmates. That was at least one of his initial requests. But there was nothing preventing him from writing other inmates and asking for an affidavit. That's always possible. Later on, he said he wanted more access to his records, his medical records, things like that. Those records transfer with inmates when they move institutions. Inmates can make a request to see their medical records. They can tap things, get copies, and submit them. And he, in fact, did submit some of his medical records at summary judgment attached to his affidavit. So
that would theoretically include the written requests that he says he made to Tenebruso?
That's correct, Your Honor. He had access to all of his files. If that request existed in his files, he could have seen it, tabbed it, copied it, and sent it to the court.
And we don't have any documentary record that of written requests by him, do we, other than the one that was acted on?
The ones, correct, Your Honor, the requests that in his records that went to Tenebruso are in the record. That was the first time, I believe, is April 14th, 2011, that he wrote about his tooth to Defendant Tenebruso, and she responded that same day asking Mr. Olson if he wanted to see a dentist, because he didn't ask to see a dentist. He responded, again, complaining about the tooth. He still didn't ask about a dentist, but she construed that to be a request and then referred him to a dentist. And that's all that was pointed to Tenebruso in the record.
Okay, so his medical file contains no other record of a written request before April 14th.
To Tenebruso, I believe that's correct, Your Honor, yes.
Now, how does a pro se depose witnesses?
Well, Your Honor, if a pro se inmate wanted to depose someone, like anyone else, they would request that to opposing counsel and set it up. So they say, I want to do it. I have some way of recording it that would comply with the federal rules. And we would send that defendant, say if it was Defendant Tenebruso, I think 50 miles to his institution, and it would occur at his institution.
But did he know that he could depose Tenebruso, for example?
I don't know if in particular to her. I don't believe he made a request to, but in the district court.
I mean, did he know about depositions?
Yes, Your Honor. The district court provides a packet of information to pro se inmates in the Western District that includes, in lay person's terms, what discovery is, how you go about it, what you can get. And sets it out, and it's in the record, Your Honors, and it sets it out in good detail and in plain terms what each stage of the trial is, including discovery and depositions.
And the magistrate judge in this case actually assisted Mr. Olson with some discovery requests, did he not? I thought there was some advice given about specific discovery requests that he ought to be making.
I'm not recalling exactly what you're referring to, Your Honor, but it's true that there were motions to compel filed, and the district court did address them. And in one instance, the district court, it was pointed out that Mr. Olson hadn't come to defense counsel with his request first. He went straight to the district court. And that's what the court was talking about by conferring and working this out between the parties like you would normally do in a lawsuit. The court directed Mr. Olson to make a request, specific request to defense, saying what he wanted. Defense had, I think, 3 days to get back with what they could provide. And then if Mr. Olson wasn't happy, then he was supposed to come back to the court and say exactly what he thought he should have, he didn't have, and he didn't come back.
Is there anything in his medical records to suggest psychiatric problems?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that question. I only know what's in the record for his medical records.
But he could have requested his medical records.
That's correct. He had access to his psychological records, if there are any, and could have submitted those to the court. Yes.
But he didn't?
He did not, Your Honor. The only, he was just, as was pointed out,
he just said something.
Issues. Right. And one of the, at least one of the district court's analyses of the counsel, the court noted that he had invoked or stated he had an issue with depression, but the court correctly noted that he was aggressively pursuing this case, filing quite a bit of things, and his filings were clear, coherent, so it didn't seem to matter to his lawsuit.
What tooth did he lose? Was it a front tooth?
No, Your Honor, I'm not sure off the top of my head. I apologize. I'm not sure which tooth was involved. Maybe opposing counsel knows. I would also just like to, a few bullet points were made in the reply brief, and I think a few merit clarification, so I'll shift to that. I think a couple of these things have been addressed now that it's clear that Mr. Olson had access to his own medical records. The other issue that I see here is that he said that summary judgment was filed before the close of discovery. I think that would matter, but it's in Western District cases, discovery stays open past summary judgment, so it's always true that discovery is still open. And he says the court refused his motion to stay summary judgment. It's true, but the court gave him a 3-week extension, more time to prepare. And I believe these other issues were addressed. I would point out, unless the court has specific questions about the merits, I won't get into those details. I will point out that opposing counsel said it was a fact in the record that there was severe pain and he couldn't eat because of the tooth. I think that is true that Mr. Olson asserted that in briefs or in submissions, but there's no medical evidence in the record that he, for example, couldn't eat for 2 or 3 weeks. I think that would probably be pretty prominent. So those are assertions, but those weren't in his sworn affidavit, for example, that he submitted in conjunction with summary judgment. So I think that.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Nizamano. Mr. Fisher, anything further?
Briefly, if I might. With respect to medical records, they aren't in the record below, Your Honor. The best evidence of that is the records of the nurse that triaged Mr. Olson, Nurse Paul Katarkis, are not present. There has been a repeated suggestion throughout the briefing below that those records were available to Mr. Olson, but Mr. Olson repeatedly denied that and made pleas to the district court to assist him to obtain those records. But they don't appear in anywhere. And I think it's a reasonable inference that if those records disproved a serious medical condition, the Attorney General would
have... Which tooth was injured?
I think it was tooth number 17, Your Honor.
In the back, you mean? A molar?
I say this cautiously in light of your opinion earlier this week, Your Honor, but that exceeds my medical knowledge. But I'm not unwilling to learn, I should add, Judge. The point about discovery being left open is not that whether it's an ordinary protocol or not. The point here is the district court went at lengths to assist the Attorney General and the state defendants to present more information to end the case. But a few simple acts in this case, Your Honor, could have put it to bed. The district court could have asked, had Mr. Olson brought, personally observed him. He could have performed the requisite analysis required by Pruitt, Navaharan, Jr. to determine, weigh whether he's competent, whether the case is complex, and in light of those two, make a decision. As we said, he could have entered a simple order saying, Mr. Olson, you have 5 days to put the facts that are in your brief in an affidavit. If you don't, summary judgment will be granted. But we respectfully suggest, Your Honors, that with a pro se litigant, the absence of that order raises a serious question about whether this case was decided on the merits and whether an observer would look at this and say, this is how we want justice done. We respectfully request that the court reverse the judgment of the district court, vacate its orders, and remand with instructions to recruit counsel. Thank you.
Okay, and thank you, and Mr.